Good morning. All right, look, 39 years of teaching, and here's what I know. There are just those students that raise their hands even before the teacher asks the question. I love those students. Well, same thing happens when we have our elders meeting and pastor says, you know, I need somebody to preach on whatever date that is. And before he finishes the question, I'm like, oh, I'll do it. But we always hear the retort that, well, there's so many capable men in our church that can do that. And that's unique. And that's true. There are many capable men. Thank God for them. But I said, since, pastor, elders, I'm turning 67 on Saturday, and I've been encouraging myself in Psalm 71 that it would be appropriate for me to preach on that Sunday on growing old in the Lord. And it worked! So here I am. Psalm 71. Now, the only other reason I have for wanting to preach this morning is I love to look at your face when you see those sermon notes. I love it. It's a look of fear. You can't hide it. And those aren't all the slides. I'm just saying, that's not all of them. I just picked a few, Rob. We just picked a few. Well, there they are. Psalm 71. Well, let's see. Do we have anything up here? Let's see if we have something. All right, there we go. Time. Time, someone says, is the indefinite continued progress of existence and events in the past, present, and future regarded as a whole. Being an elementary teacher, my delight is to simplify things. I try to do that for my students. So I said, okay, what is time? Time's a whoosh. That's all. It's a whoosh. Yeah, it's a whoosh. It's here, and you're done. And the Bible declares that to be true, right? Except the Hebrew word would be what? Maybe a vapor that lasts for just a little while. It's a whoosh. But I want to talk this morning about the Song of a Seasoned Saint. Now, most of the commentators will say this is the psalm of an old man. As a matter of fact, Phillips, who I've read extensively, said a very old man. Okay, but that just does not have an artistic flair to it. So my title, isn't that so good? The Song of a Seasoned Saint. Maybe we're more seasoned than we ought to be. I don't know. Father in heaven, would you bless the remaining time? Would you speak to us through your word, and would you cause us to cast ourselves upon you, regardless of what age, on your faithfulness, on your compassion to us at every area of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we have children in here today. I didn't intend on that, otherwise I would have given out coloring books with 50 pages and two packs of crayons. So parents, feel free if you need to let your children walk around the church or whatever if we don't get done as fast. You can take them out, you can bring them back in, take them out, bring them in. You can even do the same. It doesn't matter, okay? It's okay. Somebody here knows that when I told a saint many years ago that had a little bell in her purse, I said, when you think I've gone too long, ring the bell. And sure enough, no bells. That's right. Okay. Oh, God, the psalmist says, and we don't know who the psalmist is. Maybe David, maybe not. It's not named, but he says, oh, God, you've taught me from my youth, and I still declare your wondrous deeds. And even when I'm old and gray, O God, do not forsake me. Until, I love this, until I declare your strength to this generation, your power to all who are to come. Fred Astaire, the dancing guy, right? He said, old age is like everything else. To make a success of it, you have to start young. So we're half the way there. Have we all started young? Yes? All right. We have started young in this thing called growing old. And as a matter of fact, Fred Astaire started to dance when he was just very, very, very young. Well, we've started right, but the important thing is what? It's ending right, is it not? It's ending right. It's ending right. I was 15 one time. And when I was 15, my music tastes were somewhat different now than they are now. But when I was 15, Paul, John, Ringo, George came up with a song called When I'm 64. So let's date ourselves. Anybody here remember hearing the song when it first came out? Be honest. Thank you very much. I love it. Yeah. When I get older, losing my hair. See, that just ministered to me right there. Many years from now, will you be sending me a Valentine, birthday greetings, bottle of wine? If I'd been out till 2:45, would you lock the door? Would you still need me? Would you still feed me when I'm 64? I love the song. Listen to it this morning. Okay, it's great. When, 15, but when a person is 15, 64 is what? It's like in another eternity. It's like you don't even think of it. It's 64. As a matter of fact, let me tell you this, and this is true. I used to have the youth group of this church. Yeah. And we went up to a winter place one time, or snow skiing, okay? And we took a van. Was it a Dodge, John? Okay. John was there at the time. He can hold me accountable here if I lie. But anyway, I don't know how to drive on icy roads, right? Okay, and we've got to go way up this road to get to Winter Place, okay? And the back of the van is whipping around on both sides, I'm telling you. Pastor Petters, I don't know if you'd ever heard the story, okay? But anyway, we were there. I think the youth group at that time was considering their relationship to God in definite ways. Because I said, hey, we'll get up here. The bat's whipping around. And there was a great cliff on the side that I remember. But here's what I remember about that most of all. John Petters is not afraid of speed. He's not afraid of driving fast. Nathan, Jonathan, I know all the whole story. We won't talk about it. But this day, John Petters had on 2 seatbelts. Can I get a witness, John? That says something. 2 seatbelts. Well, anyway, we finally got there by the sovereign grace of an omnipotent God. So I'm skiing, and I'm on the bunny slope. I don't know how to stop. Not even on the bunny slope. So I'm taking off, and I'm going down the bunny slope, and I wipe out this little girl that's about 6 or 7 years old. Wipe her, just smacked her out, you know? I can't stop, and I just said, I'm sorry, and kept going. I kept going. But I thought, you know, it's probably a good time to contemplate this whole skiing thing. So what I did is I went to the ski lodge. I sat on a deck, and this deck is overlooking this trail of skiers that come by. And I was almost 40 at the time. I don't know, 38, 39, looking at 40 anyway. And these 2 young guys come walking by, and I hear them. And one of them says, man, I don't ever want to get old. I don't ever want to get old. And the other guy says, I don't want to live past 40. And there I am. I'm thinking, okay. That was the fear of reaching 40. Does anybody here want to say, hey, man, I would like to have some strength that I had at 40? Would you just raise your hand? Anybody here want a little bit of that 40? Okay, because that's long gone with me. So let me read the psalm in its entirety, and then we'll get going. But this is the psalm of a godly old man. You can follow along in your Bible or here, but this is what he says. This is his trials. In you, Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be ashamed. In your righteousness, and let me say emphatically in the Hebrew, it's emphatic. Yours and yours alone, okay? In your righteousness, deliver me and rescue me. Incline your ear to me and save me. Be a rock of habitation to which I may continually come. I love that. I thought of Hebrews 4. Come boldly to the throne of grace. You've given the command to save me. You are my rock and my fortress. You're my crag and my castle, one translation says. A solid rock and a place of utter safety. Rescue me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the grasp of the wrongdoer and the ruthless man, for you're my God. O Lord God, you are my confidence from my youth. By you I have been sustained from my birth. You are he who took me from my mother's womb. My praise is continually of you. Here's his trust, the trust. But as for me, I will hope continually and praise you yet more and more. That's called progressive sanctification, if you know. More and more. It's that godly greed of the Apostle Paul that says, yes, you've gone this far, but I want more. My mouth shall tell of your righteousness and of your salvation all day long, for I do not know the sum of them. I will come with the mighty deeds of the Lord God. I will make mention of your righteousness, yours alone. But he has troubles. I become a marvel to many. How about that? He was a superhero. Not the comic book kind, but he was a superhero. For you are my strong refuge. My mouth is filled with your praise and your glory all day long. Do not cast me off in the time of old age. Do not forsake me when my strength fails. For my enemies have spoken against me, and those who watch for my life have consulted together, saying, God has forsaken him. Oh, think of our Lord Jesus Christ. Pursue and seize him, for there's no one to deliver. He saved others. Himself he cannot save. I think we got some feedback. Oh, my God, hasten to help me. Be not far from me. Let those who are my adversaries of my soul be ashamed and consumed. Let them be covered with reproach and dishonor who seek to injure me. Here's his testimony. Why does God allow these things in our lives that if you and I had the chance, we'd say no thanks? Why? Here's why. Oh, God, you've taught me from my youth. This young man right here singing this morning, he's got it. He's being taught just like this man. And I still declare your wondrous deeds. And even when I'm old and gray, O God, do not forsake me until, there's that word, until I declare your strength to this generation and your power to all who are to come. For your righteousness, O God, reaches to the heavens. You who have done great things, O God, who is like you? You've shown me many troubles and distresses. You will revive me again. You'll bring me up from the depths of the earth. You will increase my greatness and turn to comfort me. One translation says, on every side. Here's his triumph. I will also praise you with a harp. Even your truth, O my God, to you I will sing praises with the lyre. O Holy One of Israel, my lips will shout for joy when I sing praises to you. And my soul, which you have redeemed. What does that mean? It means written over our lives is this, for God and God alone. Purchased by the precious blood of Christ. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. My tongue will also utter your righteousness all day long, for they are ashamed, they are humiliated, who seek my hurt. An amazing testimony and a triumph of this man. And John Phillips, who was saved at the age of 10, is now writing a commentary at the age of 70, says this. He says, the only man I know who could have prayed like this in his old age was my father. He had not only a fantastically retentive memory, and in Psalm 71 that we just read, there are references to some 50 quotations or allusions to other psalms. I've said, if you cut me, I want to bleed scripture. but also an almost lifelong love for the Hebrew hymn book, which is where I start every day. I start in the Psalms. One of my students asked me why one time. I said, vertical. The Psalms are vertical. They bring me to God first thing in the morning. It's that vertical relationship that the psalmists had with God. I start vertical. As an old man, when he prayed, it was to lift those around him into the presence of God as God's word, especially the Psalms, gave color and expression to all that he had on his heart. One of the best books you could ever read is Praying the Bible by Donald Whitney. Short, it'll transform the way you pray. We did a Sunday school on this one time, Praying the Bible. Because when you pray God's words back to him, I can tell you this, God is listening. It's his word. It's his precepts. It's his promises. When you pray the scriptures back to him and say, oh Lord, you have said, God says, I know, and I'll make good on that. I'll make good on that. The psalmist found himself approaching the last lap of his journey. He had spent his strength, spent it, indeed, in the service of God. He'd run a good race. He had kept the faith and almost finished the course, but with strength waning, he found the path before him suddenly become steep. The course had become an obstacle course. The psalmist pleads with God for the strength to finish well. John, help me out again. Was it Mount Mitchell we were climbing that time? Yes. Yeah. I figured when you climb a mountain, you got to have a backpack to get you to the top of Everest. So I had everything in that backpack. I don't know. Everything. I said, I got this. It was really heavy. And no kidding. I was with a bunch of younger kids. And about halfway up that trek, I said to myself, I'm going back. I don't care what they say. I'm going back. And John Petters comes along, and you know what? He says, can I take your backpack? Thank you. He took the backpack. He took my burden.
I got lost.
I know. That's okay. Because I have a picture of me at the top. Yes. With Emily on my knee and a stick in my hand, a pole called my Habakkuk stick, where at each time and each juncture when I found a small plateau, I carved in it Habakkuk 3, 18 and 19, which says, the Lord God is my strength. He's made my feet like the feet of a deer and set me on my high places. And that's exactly what God did. And that stick, I used it all the way up, that pole all the way up. It's a lesson. God's mercy takes our burdens of sin. God's grace is that pole, that stick that helps us on the way. And this was a man that understood. The course had become an obstacle course. And the psalmist pleads to God for strength. David Livingstone, one of the greatest missionaries that ever lived, went to Africa. And David Livingstone is way up in the swamplands of this place in Africa, and he is alone. And he had come to the end of his tether. His feet were a mass of ulcers. His tough physique sapped to the point of exhaustion. He was bleeding inside. David Livingstone. And the last distinct thing that he wrote in his diary was this. Very tersely, he said, quite beat up. Quite beat up. A drizzling rain was falling, and his porters built a rough shelter in which he could creep. And just like in Gethsemane, this worn-out missionary had three men with him. He allowed two of them, almost as worn out as himself, to seek their rest. He asked the third to watch, but presently he too fell asleep. After the night watches, dawn appeared at last over the eastern horizon. The man left on watch awakened with a start. He peered into the shanty. And there he was. The old valiant warrior of the cross. Not in his bed, but on his knees beside it. Calling the other two, he waited, and the three of them crept into the shelter. David Livingston was dead, alone, without another white man within hundreds of miles. The only other person I know of that died on his knees is Christopher Dock, the Mennonite school teacher who transformed teaching in the early colonial era. Christopher Dock. The old schoolmasters, they could beat your knuckles, but they couldn't touch your heart. And Christopher Dock said, I'm going to touch the hearts of these kids. And every morning he'd wake up, he'd go into the classroom, he'd pull out his list of students, and he'd pray for his students by name before they came into the room. One day they found him dead, on his knees, at his prayer bench, with the list of students laid out before it. He had died praying on his knees for his students. David Livingston, Christopher Dock. Wow. Alone. But the psalmist begins this psalm by saying, in you, Lord, I have taken refuge. What's a refuge? It is a place where no one at any time for any reason can lay a hand on you because you are in God's sovereign control. Amen. Not a finger. Not the world, not the flesh, not the devil. If you are in the refuge of Jesus Christ, you are safe for time and eternity. Had God let him down? Yeah. No, 1,000 times no, says John Phillips, into that lonely hut he had come. He, who had promised never to leave or forsake, around that wasted form had gone those mighty, everlasting arms. The character and compassion of God was there to the very last breath of life. In you, Lord, I have taken refuge. Why? Because God gave the command to save him. Michael, we talked about that this morning. The God who spoke the universe into existence and said, let there be light, and there was light, and spoke the sun and the moon and the stars into existence, and he knows the name of all the stars, knows the name of this saint, and says, you know what? You've given the command to save me. You're my rock. You're my fortress. When we are old, we have troubles, do we not? We're defenseless in many ways. Often retired. Friends are dying. My dad was 92 when he died. And one of the things he would always say is, he said, I don't have any friends anymore. He said, they're all dead. They're all dead. Not a one that I knew is still alive. And their minds are not as sharp as they once were. Now, I don't know anything about that. Sharon, don't say anything. But I remember my dad, he would pause for a moment. Nobody will identify with this. Well, maybe, you know, Lou, I don't know. But anyway, my dad would pause for a moment because he couldn't remember a certain thing, and he would say to me, I have to unlock a few doors. And he would come up with what he was thinking about. It just wasn't in the first room. But it was there. And this psalmist is feeling defenseless, and yet he says, Lord, you have given the command to save me, and he's confident. He's confident. He's secure. He's safe. He's protected. And the only thing that leads him to do is to say, God, I praise you. With all of my heart and soul, I praise you. He's learned one lesson. No matter what happens, he can praise the Lord because God, listen, he is too wise to make any mistakes. You agree? Too loving to be unkind, too powerful to be thwarted. Therefore, come what may, he will praise God. What a grand old man. God says, I says to Israel and us, he says, I've upheld you since your birth. I've carried you since you were born, even to your old age and gray hairs. I, the Creator, Elohim, I am he who will what? Sustain you. I visited Diane Murray yesterday. Listen, if you have ever heard her complain, let me know, because I haven't. We read Psalm 23. And then I had a devotional book by Harry Ironside that was a devotional on Psalm 23. And as I opened the front of the devotional, I realized it was a devotional book that she had given me 10 years ago. We shared thoughts from Psalm 23. And this was the gist of the psalm. Psalm 23 is the most known and most unbelieved of all the psalms. That's what he said. Everybody know Psalm 23? Yeah. How many of you really believe it? Yeah. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And then he goes on and says all these things. And if we believe Psalm 23 right now, Richard would get up out of his chair and kick his heels. Well, not really. But anyway, we all should. First thing in the morning, should we not? Because Psalm 23 is true. God says that he'll take care of us. He's the shepherd. We're the sheep. Except there's one difference. The Old Testament sheep gave their lives for the shepherds. This shepherd has given his life for the sheep. And you're engraven in the palms of his hands. And nothing that God does not permit or allow will come into your life unless God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit all put their stamp of approval on it and say, bring it on, because we have this. And because of that, he says, you know what? I'm a miraculous sign to many. You're my strong refuge. I'm an enigma to many. Yeah. A portent, some translations say. In other words, people just can't figure this guy out. Here he is at this old age, and some translations, to many I seem like a solemn warning. There is a God, and he's mine. You've made me into a miracle. My life is an example to many. Many find me a mystery. That may be more true of me than I know. But anyway, I'm just saying, they're saying we can't. And then I thought of this verse. Thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph and through us spreads the aroma of the knowledge of him in every place. Wow. But some, it says we are a fragrance or an aroma of death leading to death, which means our life reminds them of coming judgment. And to others, we are the aroma, the fragrance of life leading to life. And Paul says, who's adequate for that? Who is adequate for that? And the answer? Your strong refuge. And this psalmist, as they've watched his life, is an enigma to many. By the depth of his rejection and his suffering and by these miraculous deliverances that happen over and over again. And we could go to the Gospel of John and read the many times when the Lord Jesus Christ performs these miracles and the Pharisees and the Sadducees say, wait a minute! Isn't this the son of Joseph, whose father we know and his mother? And says they took offense at him. They took offense at him. They could not understand who he was. Forsake me not when my strength is spent. Wow. I signed the contract. Nope, I did not. Sharon, I didn't sign it. Did you say I better? Okay. Sign the contract today for next year at Charleston Christian, which will be year 40 for me teaching. So this may mean nothing to you. Okay? Forsake me not when my strength is spent. And I tell Sharon all the time, I said, I'm tired. She said, you've spent yourself. You've spent yourself. And I said, I hope I got a few coins left. I really do. Because I want to spend a little bit more on these precious kids here. Mary Bailey. I don't have to ask a question. When I come into the room for third and fourth grade Bible, this girl's got her hand raised already. She wants to answer every question. And she knows 90% of the answers. This girl, you can just tell her, she's awesome. Mary Bailey. Where there was strength of body and vigor of mind, strong sight, strong voice, strong limbs, alas, in old age, they fail. The life is continued, but the strength is gone. Yeah, I love Spurgeon. Nevertheless, no saintly heart need be under any apprehension upon this point. Spurgeon. Wow. Thou wilt not cast me off in the time of old age, and according to the failure of my flesh, thou wilt not forsake me. Amazing. He says, the weaker I get, the stronger I'll be. Where is that in the Bible? Is that in the Bible? The weaker I become, the stronger I will be. Oh, well, that's Paul, right? 2 Corinthians chapter 12. When I am weak, then am I strong. Paul got to the place where this was so real to him. He gloried in weakness and insults and trials and tribulations. He gloried in them. That's grace. Because you see, he realized that the less he could give to God, the more God could give to him and in him and through him. Wow. You want to live there? Get old. Yeah. My mouth shall tell of your righteousness and of your salvation all day long. It's amazing. Can anyone count up how many sins we commit in the course of a single day? How about sins of thought, word, or deed? How about sins of omission or neglect? How about sins of disposition and character? God numbers them all. He's added the enormous sum of my sins. He's added it to the enormous sum of your sins. He's added to that the astronomical total of all the sins which have ever been committed and which will be committed on this planet. And 2,000 years ago, God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us. Why? That we might be the righteousness of God in him. And he has laid every one of our sins on Christ, the sum total. When he cried out, it is finished, in the Greek, the words mean what? Paid in full. It's when you bought your chariot back that time and you've paid your final payment on it and they stamped it, boom, paid in full. It's all yours. And the salvation that we have in Christ, it's all ours. It's been paid. It's been paid. Because he understands that, he says, I will go forward in the strength of the Lord God. Wow. So I don't know where you are in your life, but this is impotence leaning on the arm of omnipotence. Here's an old man needing a stick, a Habakkuk stick perhaps, going up a mountain. perhaps to help him down the street, drawing from the limitless resources of God. Drawing from what? Drawing from my resources, right? Drawing from the limitless resources of God. When you read Paul's prayers, which you should memorize and pray, it says, according to the riches of His glory, that He would strengthen us with might by His Spirit in our inner man, that Christ may dwell in our hearts by faith. Yeah. Limitless resources. And they shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be vigorous and flourishing. Wow. There's hope for you. And even when I'm old and gray, do not forsake me until I declare your strength to this generation. So, this saint, his appeal to God is this. He says, Lord, it's my desire to stay so young at heart that I can seek out the friendship of young people and I can cultivate in their lives a life that is like Christ, and so that I can show them how to live and how to die. Just like Paul said, for to me to live is Christ, what? And to die is a scary thing? That's not what he said, did he? He said, and to die is what? To gain. It's gain. And he says, you know, your power. Even when I am old and gray. Wow. It is said of the young, you young people here, don't be offended at this. But the poet Browning said of the young, they see but half. It's a good thought. Because you see, when I was your age, I thought I knew it all. Guess what? I know more now than I did then. But I thought I knew it all. My teachers, I said, I know it all. So in ninth grade, they said, fine, you can leave our school. And then again in 12th grade, when I said, I know it all, they said, fine, you can leave our school too. Yes. And then the Lord called me to teach, which means He has a sense of humor. But here it is. Even when I'm old and gray, you will bring me up again from the depths of the earth. This godly man is saying, hey, wait a minute. Not only do I have this life, and God's faithfulness, there's a heaven up there. There's going to be a glorious resurrection. We're going to have our share of troubles in this world, and I'm surrounded with them still, but this life is not all there is. There's going to be another life. And I love this quote. Think of your sufferings. Maybe you're not near death, but this is so beautiful. However low the Lord may permit us to sink, He will fix a limit to the descent. Have you found that true? Thus far and no further in your suffering? And in due time will bring us up again. So in this life, God says, underneath are the what? Everlasting arms. Thus far, no further in your sufferings. He fixes a limit to that, but a time is going to come. When we are laid low in the tomb, and the mercy is that we can go no lower than that. There's going to be a glorious resurrection. And since God raised up the Lord, He'll raise us up with Him. Amazing. He says, I'll praise you with the harp. To you I will sing praises. The second paragraph, would you look at that? The disturbances and discords of life drown out the angelic strains. This godly old man could hear them. His life had become a receiver and a transmitter. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Right? He could hardly keep his fingers still. You see Tim over here playing this piano? Say, stop, Tim. He's not stopping. Can hardly keep his fingers still. His feet from dancing. You can do that. It's okay. Or his lips from singing. His life was full of melody. That was his response to God as he faced the bumpy road ahead. And yesterday when I visited Diane, I'm telling you, not a complaint. She said, I want to go home. I said, wait a minute. No, home, right, you know, Wanda Woods home. I said, okay, Wanda Woods. But I'll tell you what, she suffered a long time, and there may be some of you in here who are saying, you know what, I want to go home. I want to go home. There he is. Let them praise his name with dancing. No, we don't dance in this church, and I have no problem with that. But there's a guy on this next clip that doesn't care about dancing. You got to watch it, okay? Check this out. This guy's pretty good. Yeah. He's got canes. He's old, yeah? Check. Oh, there they go. Watch his hair. He's going to take his hair now. He's going to fix his hair. Yeah. Fixing his hair. Here we go. That's the man. He's got good moves. Look at this. There it is. That's you. Yeah. Look at that. Look at this. There. How about that? Give him a hand, please. Yeah. You can watch the video on YouTube. And a minute from now, he grabs a lady and starts dancing with her. And she loves it. But I'm just telling you, I like this guy. This is the way it ought to be for us. My tongue also will utter your righteousness all day long. As people crowd around him, okay, worried businessmen. Let me tell you, the wear and tear of this business world, you, if you're a businessman, they will seek you out. Because they will see something in your life that they don't see in the lives of other businessmen. And they will see a serenity and they will want comfort and cheer because of your testimony for God. Because your tongue is uttering the righteousness of God all day long. The young minister to them. The old seeking you out because God is at work in your life. On the victory side. No foe can daunt us. No fear can haunt us. On the victory side. What side is that? On the victory side. I love the next stanza. With Christ within, the fight will win. Do we have any idea what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us, Tim? Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to what? According to the power that works within us. You've got it made. And those who seek my destruction will be utterly humiliated. Now, he might have had some earthly enemies. We have the world against us. We have the flesh within us. We have the devil against us. But this is faith's final stanza. Faith believes that she has her request and she has it. How many times have you prayed about something and you got up from your prayer and knew that you had it? It says in the scriptures that there was someone who came to Christ and the person's faith was so great that Christ marveled. I want to be that kind of person. Right? Yeah. When you and I pray, here's what we do. We take our burden to the Lord, right? It's on our back. We take our burden to the Lord and we say, Lord, I want you to do thus and so for me because you're God and you're able. And Lord, I am laying it on you because you're able to answer this prayer in accordance with the Word of God. And there it is. I'm free of my burden. We leave it with the Lord, right? What do we do? Wait a minute, I didn't leave it, did I? No, I didn't. I carried it back. This is the stanza here. Faith believes that she has her request and she has it. If you say to this mountain, be cast into the sea, and believe in your heart that what you have said will be done, it shall be done unto you. I don't even know if we live with that kind of faith. She is the substance of things hoped for, a substance so real and tangible that it sets the glad soul singing. This is where he lived. Already, sin, Satan, and the world are vanquished. The resurrection of Jesus Christ. And someone has said, sin, Satan, death appear to harass and appall. Yet since the gracious Lord is near, backward they go and fall. I read that and I thought of the Garden of Gethsemane. Right? They come for Jesus Christ. They say, where's Jesus? How do you answer that? I am. And what happened? It all fell backwards. The power of his divine majesty in the words spoken, I am. We meet them face to face through Jesus' conquest blessed, march in the triumph of his grace, right onward into rest. Psalm 23 again, right? We're almost done. As an old man in Psalm 23, David looks back over his life, okay? A lot of sins, a lot of failures, a lot of goodness from God, a lot of unfailing love, a lot of Romans 8:28 in David's life, right? And under the old covenant, the sheep died for the shepherd. In the new covenant, the shepherd dies for the sheep. And we're going to meet him in heaven. We're going to meet him in heaven. He's still the lamb. He still has the scars. The lamb in the center of the throne. Now think of your heart and say, is that really true? Is he in the center of the throne of my heart today? Because he certainly is in heaven. And he will be their shepherd, and he'll be your shepherd. And he will guide them to springs of water. He'll do that in this life. He will certainly do it in the next. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. So if we're going to weep and cry, let us weep and cry for the lost in this world. The last enemy that will be abolished is death. The best is yet to come. Rich Mullins did not live a long life. I believe he was killed in a car crash. But before Rich Mullins went to be with the Lord, he wrote a lot of songs. A lot of contemporary songs. Like Screen Door on a Submarine. You got to hear that one. It's about the book of James. Faith without works is dead. But I love this one. This is what he said. He said, there's people been talking and they say they're worried about my soul. Well, I'm here to tell you, I'll keep rocking till I'm sure it's my time to roll. I like that. When I leave, I want to go out like Elijah with a whirlwind to fuel my chariot of fire. And he says, when I look back on the stars, it'll be like a candlelight in Central Park, and it won't break my heart to say goodbye. It will not break my heart to say goodbye to this world. But you know what I want? What I want is to be faithful till the end. That's my one request. God, enable me to bring you the greatest amount of possible glory. I've asked the Lord to do that. I'm certain. Hundreds of times. God, I want to bring you the greatest amount of possible glory. And my second request is, God, I want to be the greatest possible blessing to the greatest number of people. And when I'm gone, I hope that there will be many that I've taught that will pick up that mantle and say, okay, God has been faithful to you. He'll be faithful to me. I'll live for God. And do you remember what Elisha did when he took that mantle? He went back to the Jordan, didn't he? And he asked the question, where's the God of Elijah? And he hit the water. And they parted. Where was the God of Elijah? On Elisha. The man who wanted a double portion of God's Spirit. According to my study, Elijah performed 8 miracles. Elisha performed 16. What are you asking God for with the time that you have left? What are you asking God for? To do exceedingly abundantly above and beyond all we can ask or imagine. Because He's faithful. And when we go, may we go out like Elijah. Let's pray. Father in heaven, would You bless this church? Would You bless the aged in this church to be the example to the young ones, that they might take that mantle that we leave behind? The power of God Almighty at work in our lives. And as we saw this morning, may our young men and women in this church get a vision of the glory of a faithful God and want to serve Him and praise Him with all that they are, all of their days, throughout every day. O Spirit of God, glorify Christ in us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.